Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, August 6th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. As Zimbabwean continues to seek the removal of President Robert Mugabe from office, even if his original court papers disappeared in the Constitutional Court.
What we have done now is find lawyers, and then we are asking them to try and see if they can push the sheriff by giving them a third set of papers to see if those papers will be filed.
Mandela Washington fellows return home, promising to use some of the skills acquired in America. And as usual, we'll focus on issues affecting women. Stay tuned. As Zimbabwe continues to seek the removal of President Robert Mugabe from office, even if his original court papers disappeared in the Constitutional Court, Tinomuta Ishe Chinyoka says he has hired lawyers in Zimbabwe to work on the case filed early this year, seeking Parliament to make a finding that the president is now too old to run Zimbabwe. Tachamuka Sesijikile campaign filed a similar case yesterday. Chinyoka tells Studio 7 they are pushing ahead with the court case.
We are still waiting on the sheriff to tell us what's happening with the application. We were told about 2 months after we had sent the papers to them that the papers were missing. We made photocopies, gave the sheriff to serve. We have been checking since then, and we continue to be told either that the papers cannot be seen or that they have been taken out to go and be served, or that nobody knows what has happened. So, you know, your guess is as good as mine.
You are a legal practitioner. Do you think your case has got some kind of merit when you look at the laws of Zimbabwe?
Section 97 of the Constitution is very clear that Parliament has the power to impeach the president if there is any reason to believe that he is medically or physically unfit for office. What our application is asking for is for the court to compel Parliament to act. Now, we have put forward enough, in our view, evidence to suggest that there are reasonable grounds to believe that his health is in question. So on that basis, I think that our application has merit. The question of whether or not Parliament would actually then impeach him, that's a different question. The point of the application is to compel Parliament to act in terms of the Constitution. And on that score, I think that our application is a lot of merit.
But there are some legal minds dismissing your move, saying that it does not have any legal leg. What do you say about that?
The fact that other people are also filing similar applications, as you can see now with Tajamuka doing the same, is because there are many other legal minds that agree with us. And also, you should always remember, many times people have taken applications to the Supreme Court or the Constitutional Court on points of the Constitution, including those legal minds, and they have not always been successful. So when they did that, they thought that they were right, but the court either proved that they were not, or, you know, for some other reason, the applications were not successful. So I wouldn't judge the merits or otherwise of the application on the basis of what, somebody who has not read the papers thinks about those papers. I would wait until the judges of the Supreme Court have ruled. Then we look at the reasons they give to see whether or not they have ruled in terms of the law or in terms of some other outside influence.
And so what is the way forward for your case?
What I've done now is to look for a firm of lawyers to actually represent us. The process has not been easy because not many lawyers have been willing to be brave enough to be seen to be behind such an application. Well, at least not the ones we have approached anyway. I wouldn't want to speak for the ones we haven't spoken to. What we have done now is find lawyers, and then we are asking them to try and see if they can push the sheriff to, you know, by giving them a third set of papers to see if those papers will be filed. So we are definitely pursuing the application.
That was Tinomuda Ishe Chinyoka, a Zimbabwean living in Britain, speaking with Studio 7. Mandela Washington fellows return home promising to use some of the skills acquired in America and to fully utilize awarded grants. Reporter Jone Sojani has more details.
Mandela fellow Kudzai Sakajena, a young woman who is a success coach and works with universities and colleges in Zimbabwe, is happy about getting a USADF grant. She says she has plans to start a creative innovation hub for girls and women to become more techni-savvy.
I'm a life coach and I also offer entrepreneurship education for high school students, mainly because our education system is giving academics, but now it's more enterprise. So I go into high schools, mainly government schools, and teach them about opportunities in enterprise. I won the USADF grant to start up an innovation hub for girls. So by January 2017, we'll open the first creative innovation hub for women young between the ages of 21 to 39 in Zimbabwe.
Another Mandela fellow, Tafadzwa Mukondo, who has a distributing company for her parenting magazine, says she was encouraged by President Barack Obama's remarks to do well in her life.
What caught me was how he said his family grounds him. One of the fellows asked how he manages to balance personal life and his political life, and he said it's nice that his family keeps him in perspective, so he's able to separate the two and realize he's still a father, he's still a husband. So that touched me, especially being a mother. You want to know that you're able to balance, and when you're seeing a leader so great being able to balance, it's inspiring and it tells you that it can be done. I think the fact that we as African leaders are the ones who should make the change. As much as we turn to the West for assistance, the fact that they brought us here was to be able to say we're working together with them. There's only so much that they can do. But bringing us here, it means they're looking for us to partner with us in our countries to say we can help make the change. They're coming as an outsider into our country. We're the insider to give them the insight to say this is what we think we should change.
Rape and gender-based violence human rights lawyer Tariro Tandi says she's committed to making some positive change in her community following the completion of the YALI program.
One of the greatest things that I learned is that President Barack Obama said it's not what you want to be, but what you're going to do that matters in life. And I think it came at a momentous time in my life where I was reflecting and saying, you know, do I still have a life or a career in Zimbabwe, looking at what is currently going on, unemployment rates and everything else that's going on in Zimbabwe. But then I reflected and said at the end of the day, it is what gives you rest and sleep at night, what really matters. And that's why I just say to myself, I've committed that this is what I want to do. This is, you know, I'm committing to making a change in people's lives, especially women and children, and that means going in, you know, like going all in completely and giving everything that I have, regardless of the circumstances and the environment or the extenuating circumstances that I find myself in.
Patrick Miller, who was placed at Kansas State, says he believes that arts is a tool to transform lives in his community.
I'm going to be mostly focused on the creative arts because I'm an artist, so I'm going to stay in my field to be able to do the civic engagement. And from what I got here, which I think is really relevant for my context in Zimbabwe, is to create artists who are not only entertainers, but artists who are leaders, artists who have opinions, artists who want to give back to their community, not just be on a stage and make people have a good time, but at least get into the community and do some work in the community as an artist. So that is what I'm taking back, and I'm hoping to inspire other young artists to do more than just being on a stage.
He agrees with President Obama's remarks that people have solutions to their problems.
My highlight was pretty much his focus on youth development and him reiterating the fact that the answers to countries' problems are with the people, not outside forces. So for me, I totally agreed with that to say, yes, the answers to what my nation is going through is with us, the people who live there, who know what's going on the ground.
Some of the young African leaders, including some Zimbabweans, will remain in the USA, where they will be attached to various institutions. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Chione Sojani.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on 909 Meter Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry hosted the sixth round of the U.S.-Colombia High-Level Partnership Dialogue August 1st. Through these dialogues, the United States and Colombia have strengthened their cooperation as Colombia prepares to end the longest-running civil conflict in the world. Under President Barack Obama's Peace Colombia plan, the United States has developed a strategy that will support the Colombian government's efforts to provide security, strengthen the rule of law, protect human rights, and generate economic opportunities in areas that have been most negatively affected by the conflict with the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC. It is going to be crucial that those who have been victimized by the violence have a means of redress, said Secretary Kerry, and an assurance that those most responsible for abuses will be held accountable. At the same time, the United States and its partner Norway have launched the Global Demining Initiative for Colombia to help Colombia rid itself of landmines within 5 years. Last year in Colombia, 222 people, including 27 children, were killed or injured by landmines, a toll that is higher than any country in the world except Afghanistan. Education was also a topic of discussion at the high-level dialogue. Colombia now ranks second in the Western Hemisphere as grant winners for the 100,000 Strong in the Americas Innovation Fund grants. Finally, the dialogue covered the subjects of democracy and good governance. The United States welcomes the steps that Colombia is taking to ensure that women are able to participate fully in economic and political life and to defend and expand human rights and the role of civil society. We continue to count on Colombia's partnership in defending human rights at the Organization of American States and the United Nations, said Secretary Kerry. The United States welcomes the opportunity to work with Colombia to ensure that peace is finally achieved and prosperity and security are shared by all Colombians.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And as usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. Tonight, we're gladly joined by Rumbidzai Nzenza, a Zimbabwean consultant who's based in North Carolina, who traveled to Washington, D.C. for the protest that happened in the past week. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Ms. Nzenza. We saw that you were actively participating at some protests held here in Washington, D.C. What prompted you to come all the way from North Carolina to join in the protest?
The reason I came to D.C. for the protest, I felt compelled to come and support my fellow Zimbabweans at home. What's happening at home is really heartbreaking. I still have relatives at home. I've been gone out of Zimbabwe for 15 years, but I'm still Zimbabwean. My hope and my wish is to someday go back home. And I want to go back to the Zimbabwe I left years back when I graduated from high school. That Zimbabwe does not exist anymore. I strongly feel that we no longer have the leadership and we need a change. I strongly feel that, you know, Zimbabweans, we are in a different era. We need a change.
But can we see that change coming soon? And what role do you see women playing in this change that you feel is needed in Zimbabwe?
We can continue to support each other, to support our fellow Zimbabweans at home, to teach our youth that do not be intimidated, do not be afraid. So us as women, we play a very important role in raising and teaching our youth that you are the future of Zimbabwe. And if you feel intimidated, if you feel scared, it is okay, but you need to talk about it, you need to discuss about it, and we need to encourage our kids that you can stand up for what you believe in, and no one should tell you you cannot speak up. It is not right, it's not fair. If anybody tells you to not speak up, it means they have something to hide, and you do not want to be associated with people like that.
And also, I saw at the protest that you are raising a family. Your children were born here in the United States, but some of them had Shona names. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, Yes, all my kids have Shona names. Even my daughter, her name is Savannah. And Savannah, that name comes from Africa, the savannas of Africa. And the meaning means full of life, dynamic. And the second name is Mudiwa. And my second one is Kurai and Samuda. So that is my connection to my roots, to where I come from. And my kids' names, they know what they mean. They've got posters in their room, and I want them to know what those names mean. The middle child is Kurai because he was born a preemie. So I tell him, your name is Kurai Nashe in full because you were only a pound when you were born. And my wish was for you to grow up and be a strong guy. And also with the Lord's power, everything is possible. And you are here because the Lord wanted you to be here.
And also I saw them carrying their Zimbabwean flags and also actively participating in the demonstration itself. What had you told them prior to them coming and, you know, showing up as Zimbabweans born in America?
So before we came, I don't work from North Carolina. I actually work from another state. I am a consultant. So I try and keep my kids updated about what's happening in Zimbabwe. We were in Zimbabwe in December, in January of this year. And when I came home, I asked them, I said, guys, I know it's late. Mommy just got home, but I want you to be prepared. We're going to D.C. to protest. And my middle child says, to protest? Why? I said, we were in Zimbabwe a few months ago. Tell me what you saw and what you think could be improved to make Zimbabwe better, like here in North Carolina. And the baby says, Mommy, me, can I go first? I said, you go first. He said, the roads, Mommy, the roads. The roads were bad. Those bumpy roads, those potholes, they are terrible. And I said, yes, what else? He said, the water. You told us not to brush with the faucet water, and we could not drink the faucet water. I said, yes, why do you think that? He said, oh, there's a shortage of water in Zimbabwe. I said, no, it's not that there's a shortage of water. There is a drought here, but the government could do better. We don't have chemicals to treat our water. There's no running water. And also, one thing they noticed is a man showed up to say, we're going to turn off your water. And there was no water to turn off because we're not using the faucet water. We have a tank. So those are the things that I discuss with my kids every day. Say, you saw how people in Zimbabwe are suffering. You know, we have relatives in Zimbabwe. We have to send money for them. They are paying for the water that does not run. So whether the water is there or not, you still have to pay a bill.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Ms. Rumbidzai Nzenza, for having been our guest here on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye. We hope you are going to have a lovely weekend. Music of Wizkid coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now a quick recap of our top stories. As Zimbabwean continues to seek the removal of President Robert Mugabe from office, even if his original court papers disappeared in the Constitutional Court. And Mandela Washington fellows return home, promising to use some of the skills acquired in America. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.